Okay, we've been working our way through Galatians. We've been in Galatians 6, where Paul's speaking of applying those gifts of the Spirit, those fruits of the Spirit, and to apply those fruits in the Spirit towards the errant brother, towards one another, and towards the Lord's church, and within our own lives. And in verse 6 of chapter 6, we've been here for a while, though we haven't been here for a long time. We just got back again last week. But in chapter 6, Paul speaks again of applying these gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, that Christian life, to the Lord's servants. Verse 6, and then we're going to take another little excursus today, and then we'll get back over here. Maybe next week. I'm not going to get too far this week because I rambled. But let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. And God has a plan for his church. God has a plan for giving. And it's not something I like dwelling upon. I don't beat people over the head with it. The Lord has to bring people to that. It's kind of like in the same sort of context of the thing, I preach from time to time on head covering, but I don't sit at the back of the church and plop a head cover on every woman who comes in the door. Of course, scriptures make it clear that that's to be from her heart and her decision. She puts it on and shows her submission to God and his ordained plans. And same way with giving and tithing. And I've got brethren that don't believe that the tithe is appropriate for today, but I think if you talk to them long enough, they understand what the scriptures say, and the tithe is that example. It is that pattern. And we looked last week through the Old Testament, how all the way back, Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. And Paul makes a big deal out of that in the book of Hebrews, because Melchizedekian priesthood, which represented Christ, was superior to the Aaronic priesthood that was established by the descendants of Abraham. And specifically, Paul tells us that Aaron gave tithes to Melchizedek. Well, Aaron wasn't born yet. Paul says, while he was in Abraham's loins. And there's a lot in that verse that teaches us lots of things. Well, we dealt with that in several other instances, Jacob and others in the Old Testament. And I won't go over all that again this week. But we get to the New Testament, and I think the principle remains. It's the same thing with the Sabbath and these who try to set aside the seventh day. Well, nowhere in Scripture does it say the seventh day is the Sabbath. It establishes that. It speaks about the day after the Sabbath, which was the first day upon which we meet. But the Sabbath was a day of rest that was set aside. Just like we speak of sabbaticals for professors and anything. It really doesn't have anything to do with seven, per se. Not that it's unimportant. God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh and so forth. But it doesn't say that it was Saturday. We're one out of seven. The principle remains. We're not under the Old Testament law. Even during the Lord's ministry, he told the Pharisees concerning the Sabbath that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. He said, you're upset that I heal a man on the Sabbath. And yet if one of your animals falls in a hole on the Sabbath, you think it's just fine to dig him out. But this man, no. The Lord railed against hypocrisy, and we'll get into that. Maybe not this week. And again, in giving. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, It wasn't that they withheld part. It's that they made a big show of saying we gave all and kept part back, lying to the church and to God. The big deal is hypocrisy. In the matter in tithing, giving. The principle of the tithe is set forth in the Old Testament. And as we look at the New Testament, I think we see the acknowledgement and the embracing of that principle. Regardless, believers' motivation is love, not fear of the law, not the letter of the law, it's love. And by God's grace, our actions ought to surpass which the law requires. When the Scripture says we're not under the law. And that means we can live like the devil. It means that we live above the law, not in the bad sense that politicians do, but above the law and in the sense that we surpass the requirements. Christ himself, during his earthly ministry, endorsed the principle of the tithe. Though the motivation remained a matter of the heart, the concern was hypocrisy more than the actual giving itself in Matthew 23:23. The Lord said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin." They made a big show of, counting out the tenth of all these. "And have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, the tithing, and not leave the other undone." There are weightier matters, but that doesn't mean that these other things are of no concern. Now, I grew up in an era of fundamentalism. We were proud to be fundamentalists. And 5 points of fundamentalism. But what's not fundamental? What's not essential? And some even folks talk Scripture, the essentials and the non-essentials. Well, there may be things we understand and things we don't understand, but to say there's essentials and non-essentials of something that God told us to do, I don't know how you can do that. You say, well, there's some things the Lord used the term weightier. Yes, there's some weightier things. But he says you ought not to leave them undone. The Lord does not abolish the law. He fulfills it. He completed it. The Lord does not in his earthly ministry in any place disparage the tithe, but he does expose and rail against hypocrisy. Paul alludes to the Old Testament precepts and the application to the New Testament church and to the ministry. In Galatians here, he wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 13. "Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar." That was the Old Testament tithe, which was set aside for the household, the Aaronic household, for the Levites. "Don't you know that they that minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar." And he says in verse 14, "Even so," like that, "even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Paul says it elsewhere. Paul tells us these things in Corinthians, he told them, "These things happened unto them for examples." They happened to teach us, but they happened to them too. Not like some of my Old Testament apostate professors at Liberal Southern Baptist Seminary. Those things didn't happen. They just made them up and wrote them to teach us things. Yeah, okay. The whole fall and the snake and the apple, that was part of us. Teach why we're afraid of snakes. I don't think so. Scriptures are pretty clear. "Even so hath the Lord ordained." So there's the Old Testament precept and example. And yes, you say, do I have to? No. I don't know what that means even. The Christian is motivated from love. He has a desire. So Paul says, even so. Paul again alludes, and we'll look at it in more detail as we go on, to the Old Testament tithe and its continuance, or following the example, at least, in the New Testament church. Paul again writes to the saints, those saints in Corinth towards the end of this letter in chapter 16 and verse 1. Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, the Lord's day, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. The phrase there, lay by him in store, is taken from Malachi 3:10, which we looked at last week. And in Malachi, God said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And indeed, when later on the Old Testament was translated into to Greek, the same word was used to translate that storehouse that Paul used in the Greek here in 1 Corinthians when he said lay by him in store. So lay by him in the storehouse, if you will. The same word. So that's why I believe some of us Baptists believe and some of us are disparaged for it. I believe in storehouse tithing. I believe the tithe is to come to the Lord's church. Folks can do what else they will with that, and even within the context of the Lord's church, anything beyond taking care for the needs of the ministers, the church would determine where those things go, not the preacher. But still, it's a lay by him in store. God said in the Old Testament, bring it to the storehouse. He didn't say, you know, send it off to some TV preacher. There weren't TV preachers, but there were plenty of false prophets around. So it was to be to the Lord's church. And it was to be regular or planned. Look what Paul says here as well. He says, upon the first day of the week. You say, you know, whenever you feel like it, whenever you get around to it. Most things like that we never get around to, right? I can tell you a bunch of things around here that I had never got around to, at least not yet. She'll see that I get around to them someday, I think, but oh, she doesn't think so. But anyway, I try. But that's not good enough. I understand that. Upon the first day of the week, it's a regular. It's planned. Now, concerning the collection of the saints, I've given orders to the church upon the first day of the week. So, it's planned, it's regular, and then it's universal. Let every one of you. I didn't grow up in perfect churches when I was a kid. But I did grow up learning some things that the Lord's been pleased to keep with me. Some things that protected me from all the kind of garbage I heard at cemetery. And I learned as a young man, listen, if you get a dime, you give a penny back to the Lord, to the church. I learned that growing up. I don't know if anybody stood over my shoulder and watched and whatever. We learned that. Let every one of you, Paul says, you know, the rich guy, there may not have been too many rich guys there, but there are probably some. Scripture, there are some. And the impoverished, the poor widow. As God has prospered him, let him lay by in store every one of you. As God hath prospered him. Again, that's proportional. That's, we've been speaking of the tithe. It's not that everybody has to give $100 every week, some folks that'd be no problem for. Some folks that'd be beyond what they make or could let as God has prospered him. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul said, you know, don't make a big issue of it when I come. And, you know, I relate that somewhat to, you know, passing the plates. And some people put them plates on big old poles and put them down, run them down back and forth in front of people. Some of them shake them. I remember when I was a kid, we had people come in advance with special meetings and stuff. They'd have us kids come up, run down the aisles, somebody hold up a $5 bill, and you say, amen, and they hold $10 bill, you'd go get that, and say, praise the Lord! And if they hold up a $20 bill, I don't think anybody would hold up 100 back then. Hold up a $20 bill, you'd say, glory, hallelujah! And you'd bring it, you know. That's what they had us kids doing. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about here. Paul says that there be no gatherings, that there be no shows, if you will, when I come. And following the Old Testament example, and I think trying to follow what Paul tells us, you know, we got one of my old shoeboxes in the back of the church. I painted it a little bit and put a sign on it. And I don't want to know who puts in what or whatever. I mean, I just, what's there is there, and I put it in an envelope, or put it in my zipper thing, and go from there. The only proportion, when we talk about being proportional, that we see in Scripture is the principle of the tithe, and the tithe was 10%. And again, it went back to Abraham. Folks say, well, that's the law. Well, Abraham was before the Mosaic law. God's law was always. But Abraham was before the Mosaic law. Jacob and so forth. Now, these were before the law. It's not because we're under, we say, well, we're free from the ceremonial aspects, at least, of the Mosaic law. That's not the point. And so God sets forth, I think, here, storehouse tithing. It was to be to the tabernacle, to the temple, to the church. And I believe if God's people are obedient, that there's no lack. Sometimes, like Paul did, he worked as a tent maker. I worked as a tent maker. My wife worked as a tent maker. Other kind of tents, but whatever. You know, throughout our ministry. But God provided. And that doesn't absolve people of, well, a preacher can go out and earn his own. Well, yeah, but a preacher's supposed to be preparing messages and take care of other things. But anyway, if God's people are obedient, there'll be no lack. And there's no need to resort to the world's methods. I tell you, I talked about that running within the church. At least that was within the church. But folks go out and extend into outside the church, begging the world for money. Oral Roberts says, send me in your money or else God's going to kill me. Well, eventually God did, but not then. Now, blackmail, and I get stuff every week and through the mail, and they call on the phone sometimes. You know, they got some money-making prospect, some fundraising prospect for the church. Well, the fundraising prospect for the church that I find in Scripture is upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him the stores God has prospered him. That's what I find in Scripture. And so we look and consider the tithe is a privilege. It's not so much an obligation. And Malachi, God warns, if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. But it should be not from that concern or fear of the law or anything else. It should be from a desire to please God, from whom we've received so much. So, like I say, we sang that song, Divine Predestination, today. And we used to say, that's enough to make a Baptist shout. And God's What a God we serve. Luke 12 and verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whosoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been given a whole bunch. And again, I look at my Christian brothers and all. God's grace is sufficient. He means so. But and the time may come that it won't be that way. But I've told Brother Howe so often, I sometimes just feel like God's spoiled child. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve nothing. But unto whom much is given, much is required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. How much more appropriate for us then than even for the Old Testament saints? We've seen some of these things come about. We've seen the fruition of them. You know, our privileges, our blessings surpass those of the Old Testament saints. Oh, they're the children of God. They're saved by the blood of Christ. But we've received abundant and above and beyond. And so, I believe that the Christian should tithe for the very same reason that he keeps all the other commandments of God. Not because he must do so, but because he desires to do so. And if we don't, then we need to pray to the Lord to fix our desire. You know, fix our willer. And as proportion that the priesthood of Christ is superior to that of Aaron, the priesthood of Melchizedek is superior to that of Aaron, so should be our desires to render unto him our tithes and our giving. So, again, I try to be careful and strict about it. Like, if there's enough for me to take a little allowance, then I take it, and if before I leave the room, I put it back in the 10% back in the offering box. And we should seek to be careful and systematic about it upon the first day of the week. Of course, I usually do that before the first day, but on the first day is when I pick it up and put it back in the envelope, so I'll count it that way. And really, people speak. I speak of tithes and offerings, and I've always grew up understanding the distinction. There's not an offering until you've given your tithe. You know, offering is above and beyond the tithe that the Lord calls upon us to do. I believe that the tithe is the Lord's, and that it's not mine. Everything is the Lord's. None of it is mine. I'm accountable for all of it. But he calls, and not because you think God needs my puny 10%. No, he allows us to enter into what he's doing. By our giving, by our praying, he allows us to enter into what he's doing, to enter into his divine decree. He doesn't need our puny little efforts. He doesn't need our puny little dollars. But it's a privilege. And I think we should look upon it as such. Next week we'll continue on. Actually, I'll get to the next verse, I think. But this principle is broader, and it'll apply. I spoke of Ananias and Sapphira. We may look at them closer. But in verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, you can fool me. You could try to fool yourself. You might try to fool your wife, but you probably won't get away with it. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, you're not going to pull anything over God's eyes. And we ought to keep that and mine, and in context. Okay, well, we'll pick up there, Lord willing, next week. And I think after that, it's going to be like Father's Day, and I'll probably have something. I don't know what yet. I got to looking. I haven't prepared the sermon yet, so if I don't get it prepared, we won't have it. But after all these years preaching Father's Day sermons, sometimes they'll resurrect an old one, and I refer to this verse all the time. I don't think I've ever actually preached this verse. The one that's up here on the wall says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that's what Joshua said as he was getting ready to enter into the promised land with Israel. And there's a lot of lessons there in this. I've been thinking about them and whatever. I'll probably preach it whether I get it totally prepared or not. I'm never totally prepared. Sometimes I preach them two or three times and they're totally different and there's more. But that comes from the Lord. I should stop rambling. The old primitives, they don't even believe in sitting down making outlines and notes and whatever. Not that they're not studied, but they know, they study the scriptures. And he gets, supposedly some of them get up there and just start preaching from somewhere. And sometimes it's evident that that's what they did, but not always. The Lord knows, and we trust Him. Okay, I rambled so much today, I'm sorry. We'll take our hymnals and turn to page number 26. When the battle's over. And we look forward to that day. But still, the battle's raging, and we have to be engaged. Let's stand as we sing number 26.
Soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Sure, I must fight if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil and the pain supported by Thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that's set aside as Yours. as we remember our Lord's glorious resurrection from the dead and his victory over death. His complete atonement for his people. And Lord, I pray you be with us as we go about our task this week. Lord, help us to be cognizant that the battle's not yet over. That we have to engage. That we have to stand. That we have to work. Though you need none of that from us, Father, you give us the privilege to enter in to your work and enter in to your decree. And I pray, Lord, you might help us to be faithful. Faithful in all that you've called for us to do. Faithful in whatever circumstance you've placed us in. Lord, thanks again for bringing our brother Reagan back safely to be with us. And Lord, go with each of us as we go our ways this week. Keep your hand upon us. Bring us back safely together again next week. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.